Good morning and welcome to Melville. It is good to be together to worship God this morning. As Bruce mentioned, today is Ascension Sunday. Ascension Day was last Thursday. It's always 40 days after Easter. It is this just before Pentecost when Jesus ascends into heaven and gives the disciples the instruction to wait for the Holy Spirit. And it's a transitional time for the disciples. It's a transitional time for the church. And it really marks the beginning of the church's work following Christ. Let's take a few moments and prepare our hearts and minds for worship.
Join with me in the call to worship. Robed with majesty and armed with strength, our God reigns. God holds our world and our lives securely. The King who deserves our worship and our praise. Praise to the one who creates, redeems, and sustains our lives. Praise to the God to whom we give our lives.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we come today reminded of your greatness and glory, your sovereign power and eternal purpose expressed so wonderfully in Jesus Christ, our Lord, risen and ascended. We thank you for the wonder of ascension, that marvelous and mysterious moment in the life of the apostles, which left them gazing heavenwards in confusion and departing in joy. We thank you for the way that it brought the earthly ministry of Jesus to a fitting conclusion, signifying his oneness with you and demonstrating your final seal of approval on all that he had done. We thank you that through his ascension, Jesus is now set free to be Lord of all, not bound to a particular place or time, but with us always, reaching to the ends of the earth. We thank you that in his departing, Jesus prepared for his coming again through his Spirit, his church, looking forward to his coming in glory. Gracious God, forgive us for so often failing to grasp the wonder of ascension, for living each day as though it had never been. Forgiveness when our vision is small, when our outlook is narrow, and when our love is weak. Forgive us when our witness is nervous, and for our repeated failures to recognize the fullness of all that you have shown us in Jesus. Lord, in our worship, give us a deeper sense of wonder, strengthen our faith, and give us greater understanding of all that you have done. Like the disciples, we will never fully understand all that ascension means. We believe, yet we have many questions. We accept, but we do not fully understand. Help us, despite our uncertainty, to hold firm to the great truth that the wonder of Christ Jesus goes far beyond anything we can ever imagine, and that in faith we may live each day to his glory and honor. Amen. Children of God, hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. This is the good news of the gospel, that in Jesus Christ, we are all forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. The Easter season draws to a close today as we look forward to Pentecost next week. And we continue to enjoy the blessings that God pours out for us in Christ and in creation. Through our offering, we give thanks to God for the blessings that he pours out on us day by day. And we present what we have in Jesus' holy name. As we come to hear the word of God, let us pray. O God, you are the beginning and the end of all things, the first and the last. Send your Holy Spirit to open our minds and our hearts to your truth, so that we may find new beginnings in your word. And make living your word our purpose to the end. Amen.
This is an exciting passage. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Thanks be to God. This is the word of God.
Nearly a decade ago, which is hard to imagine, poet, storyteller, and filmmaker Gary Turk became an internet sensation following the success of his viral video, a spoken word short film called Look Up, which is not to be confused with the recent Oscar-nominated film Don't Look Up, which, depending on how you look at it, could also serve as an illustration here. But I made the mistake of watching that movie too late at night, so I will not be using it for illustrative purposes ever. Look Up is a spoken word piece turned film, which runs over 5 minutes. And so I wish that I could share the whole piece with you today, but it's a little bit long and perhaps not entirely appropriate for church, though it's really not bad. So if you are looking for it, it's available online. But I do want to share just a few of the opening verses and the conclusion. "I have 422 friends, yet I am lonely. I speak to all of them every day, yet none of them really know me. The problem I have sits in the spaces between looking into their eyes or at a name on a screen. I took a step back and opened my eyes. I looked around and realized that this media we call social is anything but. When we open our computers, it's our doors that we shut. All this technology we have, it's just an illusion, community, companionship, a sense of inclusion. But when you step away from this device of delusion, you awaken to see a world of confusion." And he carries on and then concludes, "So look up from your phone, shut down those displays. We have a final act existence, a set number of days. Don't waste your life getting caught in the net. And when the end comes, nothing's worse than regret. I'm guilty too of being part of this machine, this digital world. We are heard but not seen, where we type as we talk and we read as we chat, where we spend hours together without making eye contact. So don't give in to a life where you follow the hype. Give people your love, don't give them your like. Disconnect from the need to be heard and defined. Go out into the world, leave distractions behind. Look up from your phone, shut down that display. Stop watching this video, live life the real way." Believe it or not, the author is not anti-technology, and he's not even anti-social media. But 10 years ago, he was already pointing to what is very clear to most of us today, that there are dangers in moving all of our relationships to an entirely online and on-screen space. As we've learned throughout the pandemic, technology is powerful as a means of connection and communication, and sometimes it is essential. It has the power to bring us together, but it also has the power to drive us apart and to isolate us. There is nothing that can replace being together as a community. The disciples were looking up, not down, on the day that Jesus ascended into heaven. But the effect wasn't all that different. Their focus on the sky prevented them from engaging with the world around them, on the work that was still left to be done. In the same way that looking down at our screens can prevent us from engaging and can even put us in danger if we look at them rather than the road, I'm sure that many of us have nearly hit someone who is texting while crossing the street. And I don't blame the disciples for looking up at the sky any more than Gary Turk would blame people for being on their phones and devices. They are part of our human experience in the same way witnessing the ascension was part of the apostles' human experience. And imagine what they just witnessed. Jesus' death and resurrection would have been enough to make most of us keep our eyes glued on the person of Jesus from that time forward to make sure that he didn't disappear again. For 40 days, the disciples have had many opportunities to do just that. In the 40 days since Jesus rose from the dead, he has been with them, proving himself to be alive through what Luke calls many convincing proofs. Jesus showed up in the flesh again and again and again as he continued to teach them about the kingdom of God. I was in a Bible study not long ago when someone mentioned how sometimes what we really long for in difficulty is God with some skin on. And that's what Jesus is. That's what the disciples had. That's what incarnation is. And that's what the disciples longed for as he ascended in the cloud into heaven. We would all be staring at the sky too. We continue to long for the kingdom, even though our longing might be different than the one that the apostles experienced. Pick a currently occupied country and imagine their longing for deliverance. That is the very real, very present, very urgent kingdom that the disciples were imagining Jesus was bringing. Of course, they were excited about the kingdom. It wasn't just the next best thing. It was the very best thing. Imagine the lineups for the newest iPhone or PlayStation or Hamilton tickets or COVID vaccines. The disciples couldn't wait for the arrival of the kingdom and all that they believed it would bring, namely freedom and restoration from the Roman oppressors. When Jesus, when? Tell us so that we can set an alarm. We don't want to miss it. I have to check Facebook one more time before I go to bed in case anything happened. We have to scroll the news headlines in case something happened. When, Jesus, when? Tell us so that we don't miss it. Only God knows, he says. And as a parent who is already dreading the number of times I will hear, "Are we there yet?" on our summer road trip this summer, I can only imagine how frustrating and confusing that response must have been for the disciples to hear. As most of us know, a response along the lines of, "We'll get there when we get there," or "You'll know it when you see it," doesn't do anything to reduce the anxiety or anticipation. It usually only heightens it. So I can imagine that it would have made them even more likely and made us even more likely to stare intently at the place where he had disappeared to make sure that they didn't miss it, whatever it was. The challenge here is that his miraculous disappearance and their impatience for the kingdom actually distracts them from the significantly more important instruction that he leaves them. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. This is not something we do on our own. This is something that the Holy Spirit sets in motion. Jesus may be physically gone, but he has not left. He is empowering the next step. The disciples, the church, are about to be promoted from passive spectators to active witnesses. And they almost miss it. They're so busy looking up that they almost miss their own transformation. It's not until two men in white, maybe angels, maybe Moses and Elijah, who appeared when Jesus was transfigured. It's not until they show up and pull their attention out of the clouds that they're able to take the first witnessing steps instead of just being observers and watchers. For them, that begins with staying in Jerusalem to await the arrival of the Holy Spirit. But once the Spirit arrives, a few days later, there is no question about what they are to do next. They are to go. They are sent. Jesus came, Jesus left, the Holy Spirit comes, and the church goes while we wait with great anticipation for him to come again. Jesus is not the only way that God is physically present in the world. God didn't leave the building the day that Jesus ascended. Instead, through the Holy Spirit and a multitude of witnesses, God empowers the church to go even further than even the disciples on their own could go, to witness to the very ends of the earth. So while we proclaim that Jesus will come back and we look eagerly for that return, we are not called to simply stare up at the sky until that miraculous day arrives. Can you imagine what would happen if the whole church simply spent their days watching for signs of the end? Truthfully, we don't have to imagine because people and churches have done that very thing for centuries, usually to the great amusement of the world at large. God's timing is God's timing, and in the meantime, we are called to live. More than that, we are called to witness, to tell what we have seen. The church is sent into the world for Christ, and this is not busy work. This is not coloring to pass time on the drive. This is kingdom work. We are not called to sit and pass time waiting for the kingdom to arrive handed to us on a silver platter. We are called to go into the world doing kingdom work now. Today, more than ever, this call to wonder, why are you looking up at the sky or down at our phones should get our attention. In a media-saturated reality, it is easy to convince ourselves that we are highly connected and highly relational. And throughout the pandemic, we have seen that technology and social media can bring us together. It is possible to have community in digital space. But media also allows us to be highly selective in those connections. You can turn it on, you can turn it off, you can unlike, you can unfriend, you can tune out, you can tune in at your own convenience. And more importantly, within your own comfort zone. Never before has it been so easy to connect without actually going anywhere or doing anything. Don't get me wrong. I think that all of these things have a place and that there are advantages to intentional online relationships and media-driven platforms. And from an accessibility perspective, these are important things to have. But like the disciples who stared at the sky waiting for the fulfillment of their nationalistic hopes to be handed to them, many of us also spend a significant amount of time looking down, looking inward, surrounding ourselves with like minds, often allowing our own preoccupations and concerns to prevent us from expanding our horizons. What relationships, what opportunities for witness have we missed? Because we're too busy looking inward or up or down instead of looking out. In a world full of easy distraction and busyness, consumerism and entertainment, we are called to be witnesses, not spectators, not consumers, participants. We are called to share what we have seen and heard and experienced by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are called to tell our children and each other what Jesus means to us and what we have seen him do in our lives. This is community work. This is relationship work. This is hard work. And it can be uncomfortable work. But this is kingdom work. It is work which can't be done in isolation. It is work which can't be done without relationship. It is work which can't be done within the four walls of the church. It is work which understands that through Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, earth has become part of heaven's story. In the wake of more than 2 years of pandemic, in the 2 years since George Floyd, as unmarked graves continue to be unearthed at residential schools, as war and conflict increase and persist, as mass shootings shock us to the core, as political tensions increase, and as economic, racial, and health disparities only ever seem to grow wider, we don't have to look up or down or out very far to find places where the world really needs to hear and see the good news of Jesus Christ. There are places for witness all around us. What is the church's role in times like these? And how will we respond to Christ's call? Do we look out for our own interest first? Do we seek our own security and comfort? Or do we, through word and action, witness to what Jesus has done for us and all of creation? We can keep reading in Acts about all of the different ways that being a witness was not easy for the disciples. Nor should we as a church expect it to be easy today. As modern followers of Jesus, we can get stuck looking for him, stuck with our gazes fixed on heaven, waiting for God to show up, for God to answer our prayers and do his work among us. I'm not saying that we're not called to pray. All of this points exactly to the opposite thing, actually. And if we keep reading, we discover that that's exactly what the disciples and the church did next. But what we need to always remember is that prayer is not a passive endeavor. The Christian life is not about waiting for God to show up and fill the gap. The path to following Jesus necessitates action. The church is sent. This is not about what the church receives. It is about what the church gives in response to what the church has received through the Holy Spirit. Many years ago, in an address about world hunger, Pope Francis said, "You pray for the hungry and then you feed them." That's how prayer works. You pray for the hungry. And then you feed them. Prayer and worship are linked to the work of the church, and our willingness to be the answer to the prayers we lift up is part of the work and the worship that we are called to participate in. A commentator I read this week described the disciples as being stuck on the launching pad. And in all fairness to the disciples, the rocket fuel, the Holy Spirit, hadn't arrived yet, so getting off the launching pad would have been a little difficult at that moment. We don't have that excuse. The Holy Spirit is here, even though we don't celebrate Pentecost until next week. We are not on a launch pad. We are on a springboard, and we are called to dive into the messy and wonderful world that God loves so much. The disciples could have stayed worshiping and longing for Jesus, but they had a mission, and so do we. They had a job to do, and so do we. To bring the good news of Jesus to the world. Their joy and their worship of God was not their only vocation as followers of Jesus. It was the foundation, the springboard for the work that they were called to do as Christian disciples. To feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to pray and care for the sick, to comfort the mourning and love the dying. To look out at the world and be his witnesses. The Holy Spirit comes and the church is sent. Earth becomes part of heaven's story. Let us go and tell it. Amen. Faithful God, we give you thanks for your steadfast love that provides courage and comfort for your people in every challenging time. Continue to surprise us with your grace, O God, and breathe your Spirit upon your church once more. Draw us together in worship and witness. Renew our faith so that we may serve you with courage and creativity, offering the hope we know in Jesus Christ to this suffering world. God of peace, thank you for sending Jesus into the world to reconcile the world to you through the forgiveness of our sins. May the fruits of the reconciliation and peace he offers continue to work in places where there is hatred and hostility. Today, we name before you the places on our minds and hearts these days, the relationships we know that need your reconciling grace. Lord, we pray for countries who are at war, for countries suffering natural disaster, for places where parents cannot find food or water for their children, for their elders, for places where health care is out of reach, where human dignity is ignored. Lord, we pray for our own community, for people who are suffering, afraid, anxious. Lord, remind us of the unity to which you call us. Help us to see your image in each one. Remind us that we are all your beloved children. Do not let us be resigned to injustice or indifference. Do not allow our privilege to blind us to need. Inspire us to build new relationships that bridge the gap in days of deepening divisions. God, you have created us for fellowship. And we pray for our church and for our community and our families that you would renew our life together as we gather again as this pandemic continues to shift and move around us. Inspire us with a fresh vision of our call and vocation together as your church. Comfort those who mourn losses. Support those who are sick and those recovering from setbacks and failure. Strengthen those who work as caregivers, to those they love and to those that they are called to serve. Give strength to those who are worn out and discouraged, and calm the anxiety, fear, and anger that can keep us apart. Bless and encourage any who are struggling in their faith, and guide those with questions to your truth. God, you call us into the future with hope and thanksgiving. We pray for students who will be graduating this year filled with anticipation and uncertainty about the future. We pray that you would guide their choices, guide their steps, and help them to put their trust in you. Lord, we pray for communities in the world that are broken by violence and loss and anger. We pray for the families who have been ripped apart by the loss of children this week, by the loss of loved ones last week. We pray for a world which struggles to see us a way forward. We pray for a world even as we ourselves struggle to find answers. Lord, be our comfort and our strength. May we look to you always. May we always be reminded that you provide wisdom, strength, and grace. All that is needed, even in troubling and uncertain times. Faithful God, by your Spirit, fill us with the faith and courage to do the work, the witness that we have been commissioned to do by Christ and empowered to do through the Holy Spirit. Let us be willing to undertake that calling wherever it might lead us. Help us to be bold in sharing the stories of what you have done for us and for the world. Amen.